That team, are we there yet? When I was a boy, we used to, this was a long time ago, so it wasn't quite as far back as the Model T Ford era. But back in the 60s, 50s and 60s, as I was growing up, I wasn't really a good traveler. And I think all of us who've had children realize how tiring it can be to be on a long trip. So I asked that question many times, I'm sure. And I'm sure all of us have. Are we there yet? The question is the theme of our mission emphasis, our Christmas offering emphasis. And you may wonder if you're unfamiliar with our Southern Baptist ways of doing things, I guess, why we do this at Christmas time. Well, what could be a greater thing than to honor Jesus at his birthday with a gift to help others know Jesus. So that's really what the Light Him In Christmas offering is all about. I would like for you to pray. Pray for our missionaries. I believe you all, I trust, received a prayer calendar. If you did not, we have plenty of those. Just ask and we'll make sure you have one. But I do want to encourage you each day this week to set aside time to pray for our missionaries. Pray for you. Pray for your own heart that God would open your eyes to the needs of this journey that we call life. We're going to take a journey this morning. Well, we're taking a journey. We took a journey to come to church, obviously, and we who are from elsewhere, which is probably most of us, took a journey to come to Hawaii. Life is a pilgrimage. We're going to look at, could we maybe read this together? I know this may not be your favorite translation, but it's the New International Version. You're welcome to read it or to recite it from memory, but I want us to just say these verses together. Because I think this is perhaps the most important verses in the Bible, other than John 3:16, for the Christian. So let's read it together. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age," or the world, or eternity for that matter. So we're on a pilgrimage, aren't we, in this life? Now, when we moved to Hawaii, we were from the mainland, California specifically. But before we moved to Hawaii, we had to take a trip back east. So initially we thought, well, we'd just take the car because our son lived in Ohio. And we wanted to give the car to our son because we didn't really want to move it. It wasn't really worth moving. But we thought it'd be worth it to take it back and give it to our son. And we had some concerns about it because we weren't sure it was going to make the trip. I think some of you know this. And so we decided we'd travel light, that we would, what we didn't ship on to Hawaii, dispose of, however we had to do that. But we ended up loading the car up. I mean, you can just probably see the tops of our eyes if you saw us in the car. The back of it was all full. We thought, well, we'd have, you know, plenty of room back there. And we kind of sweated bullets along the way, wondering if that car was going to make it up the mountain sides. We took a back way into Nevada from where we lived. And we'd never been that way before. I don't think we'd go that way again. But it seemed like it took forever just to get to any civilization. And then when we did get there, we're praying, "Lord, help us to make it to the next stop at least before the car dies." And so it seemed like an endless journey. And I've thought about that, how this is really a parable of life. Because we haven't arrived yet. We're not there in heaven yet, where this song so beautifully speaks of how I can only imagine, the Bible says that, I can only imagine what heaven is going to be like. But God wants us to imagine that, because that is our eternal home, those of us who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, we are on this pilgrimage. It's an epic voyage, if you will. A life trip, a life journey that we are taking. And the Bible says that we are not to become weary in well-doing on that journey. Asking, are we there yet? Well, we're not there yet. That's the whole point. There is much work for us to do. God would not have left us here if there was not work for Him, service for Him to do. And above all, to fulfill His commission, His great commission. So we're going to look this morning at what we need for that trip. What we need for that trip that we are taking in this life. And first of all, I would suggest we need an authority in taking that trip, in going, in being faithful to God and to His purpose in our life. And I believe, first of all, that means that we submit to His authority, that we surrender our lives to Him, that we realize that Jesus is indeed, as He says in His Word, the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through Him. And in that authority, and I want us to look here at these very famous scripture verses, perhaps some of the most famous words that Jesus spoke. First of all, the scope of that authority. Did not Jesus say, all authority or all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth? What does that all encompass? I think it means all. I think it means that when we think things are out of control, and that maybe there's a part of this universe or a part of this world under which God has no control, we have missed the point of what Jesus is saying here. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There's nothing too hard for Him to do. There is no fuel shortage, I guess you could say, in this life with Jesus. If we are trusting Him, He has promised to give us the power and the authority. Not only the power, but the authority to do as He has commanded us to do. And that authority, of course, comes as we are obedient to Him, as we obey His words here. There's also a superiority in that authority. The Greek word there, where Jesus said, all authority is given unto me, or all power, I think the King James Version says. The Greek word is exousia, which just simply means that He is greater. He is greater than all. He's greater than Jesus is, greater than the devil. Sometimes we think, well, you know, how can we fight against the devil? How can we fight against these things that dog our steps here and bring us down and discourage us and make us defeated? I think it's why Jesus said this, frankly. I know, you know, I'm speaking here, I suppose you could say theoretically, but and in practice, Jesus wants us to plug into that power, to realize that we can't do it ourselves. But we can't even get out of bed in the morning by ourselves, really. I mean, God has to give us the health, the strength. Every breath that we draw comes from Him. So we should realize that it's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus and the power that He wants to give us for the task that He has given us. And that task is nothing more than just telling others about Him. Now, that sounds simple, but when you boil it down, that's all that we are commanded to do. To tell our family, our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones about Jesus. And to pray about it, to ask Him to give us the words, and He will. Give us the opportunity, and it'll become a part of our lives if we will just surrender to that power. There's a sphere of that authority in heaven and in earth. I believe that sphere takes in the whole universe. I think if there are other universes besides this universe that we see, it surely includes that. It surely includes the unseen universe, the spiritual dimension as well, because we know that God created not only what we see, but the spirit beings, the angels we call them, including the devil and his angels, before they became the devil and demons. But everything, that's the spatial sphere. And then there is the eternal sphere. I am with you always, he said, as he ended his statement here in Matthew. I'm with you always to the end, to the very end of the age. I think what he's saying, the end of time. And when's the end of time? Well, eternity is really what he's saying. There is no place, there is no time if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you are not under His authority and He is not there to give you that power to serve Him, to tell others about Him. And you may be thinking, well, that's why we pay missionaries to go to other places. That's part of it. Part of why we take an offering, because we can't go everywhere. So we give to enable others to go. Sort of our proxy, as it were, to go to places that God has not called us to go. But we can go there also by our prayers, by praying for those on the mission field. But claiming that authority that Jesus has given us. I served in the Navy. We love to think about how we were in the world's greatest Navy. I hope that's still true. I think it's still true. But we thought about how that authority of this great nation was behind us. And again, I hope that's true, because I believe that God has given a mission to us as America, mostly to let His light shine through us. He's given us prosperity. He's given us all of the tools to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. I read some of the missionary comments about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and why we have it. And many of them said, if only we would all catch a vision for what God wants us to do in this generation, we could easily win our generation to Christ. I'm sure you know that in the New Testament era, Paul said, I've preached the gospel to all of the world. Well, he didn't say I did, but he said everywhere the gospel is preached, they reach their generation. And so we have not done as well in reaching our generation as Paul and that generation did in reaching theirs. It involves all of us, that authority in going. But secondly, availability. Are we available? If we could look at the scripture there in verse 19, Jesus said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. So there's a conclusion, first of all. Jesus said, therefore, and I heard years ago when I first started studying the Bible, after I'd become a Christian, that whenever you find a therefore or wherefore in the Bible, find out what it's there for. So it takes you back to what Jesus said before that. All authority is given unto me, He said, in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So there's a conclusion here. There's a command. Go. That word go is really a participle, but it has the force of a command. I suppose you could translate it as you go, but I don't really think that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, going, make disciples. The emphasis is really on the making of disciples. But you are to go. Every translation that I know translates that go as an imperative, which it is. We cannot make disciples unless we go. I think that's the idea here. What does that mean for us? Well, it certainly means that we are to be missionaries where we are, where God has put us. When you think about it, what greater mission field could there be than our populated part of the world here in Oahu? So, but we are to also go by enabling others to go. That's one way. And by praying for those that are on mission fields, certainly being interested enough to learn so that we can pray intelligently, not just, you know, God bless the missionaries everywhere. I'm sure that kind of blessing they could probably do without. But when we pray specifically, and even by name, for missionaries and for the challenges that they're facing, I would just encourage you to maybe adopt a missionary. Just kind of focus on maybe an area of the world that you're interested in, maybe right here. And just bombard that area with your prayers. And pray for opportunities and hearts to be open to opportunities for people to hear the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior, isn't He? I mean, we know that there's only one God and that His Son is Jesus Christ, and who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That means apart from faith in Jesus Christ, the world is going to hell. Your neighbors, your friends, your family, my neighbors, my friends, my family. Well, I just think we should just ask God to give us that burden for souls, for lost souls. that we would cease to see the world as we maybe have come to see the world as, hell-bent and, all of the things that we criticize in this world, but rather as souls, eternal souls, immortal souls, that will go to an everlasting hell unless they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. I believe it's the devil's design to try to get us to thinking, well, other people have their religion, and surely our religion is no better than theirs. That's elitism, that, that's all of the things that are politically unpopular. That's not what the Bible says. But there is only one way, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. So we are to go. That's a command. There's a commission here. Go and make disciples. We have the King's commission to do that. We have His permission. You don't need really permission to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because He's already given that permission. He is the ruler of this world. And I know He said that the devil is the prince of this world, but Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the devil only has power that Jesus allows him to have. But Jesus is the King. So we have the King's commission in going. There's authority, there's availability here. There's activity. Now, I know activity can be unproductive. I suppose someone who has or if you've ever had a twitch, a twitch is kind of unproductive activity. There are people who are, because of some neurological damage, have activity without any purpose. And I suppose if you're a caffeine addict, you have, frenetic activity without purpose. But this is productive activity that we're talking about here. What are we to do? The Bible, and certainly we are saved by faith, and faith by God's grace through our faith alone. But faith that does not work is not true faith. Faith that does not demonstrate a life of obedience to God and of service is really not faith, the Bible says. So we need activity, and that activity should be integrative. I'm going to throw a big word at you here. I thought of several other words here, but I like this word here, integrative, because Jesus said here that we are to baptize them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I didn't put that up there in the scripture. I left that part out. But right after second half of verse 19, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things. We're going to look at that. Well, that is there, to observe everything that I've commanded you. But go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, that word baptizing them in the name, really the Greek preposition is really into the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that when we become part of Christ and He takes over our lives, we become part of His body here upon this earth. We become the body of Christ. And we are no longer independent of one another, but we are a body. It's so wonderful to think about that God has put us where we are, and He has brought us to faith in His Son Jesus Christ, that we may be a part of His body upon this earth. I'm sure you've heard it said that that Christ has no hands in this world now except our hands. And Jesus said that we are to follow His example in service. We are to obey His command and His commission. And that is integrated, making disciples, making others, being creative. That word make there, I think it reminds me of what God did when He started this universe. He made the heaven and the earth, the Bible says. And He has given us a part of that creative ability, part of that being made in God's image, I believe, is that He has made us creative. Certainly we think of procreation, the instinct that God has put to procreate. But there's also this command that we are to spiritually reproduce. It's what Jesus is saying here. It's integrative. It's making disciples, instructive, teaching them to observe all things. Now, disciples really comes from that word, a word that means learner. We are to teach others. We are to instruct. Now I know that's a little dangerous in the world today to make ourselves look like, you know, a know-it-all, that we're, you know, well, you know, I'm gonna teach you, I'm gonna preach to you. It's really more by example. If you look at the life of Jesus, there's the pattern for us. The pattern of a life of service, a life of availability to others, a life of listening. Most of Jesus' teaching, I believe, was really more listening. Listening to the needs of others, the requests of others, and realizing what their deepest need was, which was to know Him as Savior. So we are to instruct. We are also in that activity to be inclusive of all nations, Jesus said. And here's where the unfinished journey is most telling. I read the statistics on how many language groups there are in the world that are yet unreached, how many people groups that there are. I'm sure it's in the literature that you have there, and you can certainly find the specifics about that there. But it's really mind-boggling how much of this world is yet unreached, and yet we are seemingly unconcerned about it. I mean, I think I have to put myself in that category, that sometimes I wonder, you know, what's the use? It seems like it's overwhelming. It is overwhelming. That's the whole point. That's why we need that power that Jesus said here. So how are we in, or where are we in that journey? Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. It's why God has brought us to this time and place. It's a wonderful thing to think about the coming of Christ into this world, a very humble setting, that scene that we envisioned so as so beautiful, but really it was not a beautiful scene. The place where Jesus was born, the very rude surroundings, and how He suffered. He said, "I'm a man of sufferings," the Bible calls Him, acquainted with grief, but so that He could sympathize with us. We have such a wonderful Savior to proclaim. But are we becoming weary in well-doing? That's what Paul said to the Galatians in Galatians 6 verse 9. Actually, it was a command. He said, and God spoke through him when He said, "And be not weary in well-doing." Let's not give up. 1 Corinthians 15:58, one of my favorite verses, says, "Therefore be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord."